Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in. Supporters of Alaska's ranked choice voting and nonpartisan primaries were in court on Monday in an attempt to disqualify a ballot measure that would repeal the election reforms voters adopted in 2020. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
On day one of a trial before Superior Court Judge Christina Rankin, witnesses testified that they saw irregularities with the way repeal sponsors collected signatures. Most said they saw petition booklets left unattended. Attorney Maeve Kendall, representing voters who want to keep ranked choice voting, called a witness who was a regular at Tudor Bingo last year. Dawn Dunbar testified that she saw petition books left out on a table for weeks.
I was going in there pretty much Monday through Thursday into their afternoon session.
And you would see these booklets there during that whole time?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you ever see anyone monitoring the booklets?
No, ma'am. People were picking up the booklets. People were writing on the booklets.
Dunbar thought it was so unusual, she contacted the Division of Elections. For a petition to be valid, registered voters need to sign it in the presence of a circulator assigned to a particular booklet. Kendall and other attorneys representing the pro-ranked choice side say the problems with the signature collections were so widespread that entire booklets and all the booklets that were assigned to certain circulators need to be thrown out. That, they say, would leave the repeal measure short of the nearly 27,000 signatures needed to be on the November ballot. Their witnesses spoke of seeing unattended petitions at two bingo halls, Duane's Antique Market in Anchorage, and at another business in Soldotna. Witnesses also said they saw petition booklets at the state fair that did not appear to be in the possession of the circulator they were assigned to. Some of the witnesses for the pro-ranked choice voting side were paid to gather evidence. Among those was Gregory Lee, who pretended he wanted a job as a signature gatherer and spoke to a contractor for the repeal drive, Michaela Emsweiler. His recording was played in court.
Okay, so if I left a book somewhere, I just need to let you know where I left them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. We need email, email, phone number, a point of contact, and address.
Okay.
Former State Attorney General Kevin Clarkson represents the sponsors of the repeal petition. He contends the exchange shows Emsweiler wanted to keep track of who would be responsible for the petition, not just where it might be left. Clarkson poked holes in the witness accounts and got most to admit that they didn't see anyone actually signing the petitions that were said to be left unattended. The trial is expected to last into July. It will be decided by Judge Rankin without a jury. In Anchorage, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And a Juneau artist's family is donating hundreds of photos of King Island taken in the early 1950s before the residents were removed from the remote Bering Sea Island. Yayuk Bernadette Alvana Stimvel was born to a King Island Inupiat family in 1955, but her family kept the island as close as they could in her upbringing.
My generation were the first ones to be raised away from the island, but we were still raised on the east end of Nome, like we were still on the island. They still spoke to us in the language.
The Bureau of Indian Affairs closed the King Island School and made the children move to Nome for school. Without the children's help with harvest and subsistence hunting, adults and elders were also forced to relocate to Nome to survive. By 1970, all King Island people were living in Nome year-round. But one visitor to the island, a Juneau man, took hundreds of photos of the people and way of life on the island the way it was before.
This is one of my favorite photos. Here is an enormous ice cave.
Juan Munoz points to a photo high on the wall of the Ree Munoz Gallery in Juneau. A man in a fur parka appears small in the bottom center of the photo, framed by towering walls of ice on either side, one dark and one white with snow.
Different sections and different families would have their stash of meat and blubber, but actually was, all the whole village.
Juan is the son of Ree Munoz, an artist who painted watercolors of life across Alaska for over 60 years. Soon after Ree first came to Juneau in the early 50s, she took a job as a Bureau of Indian Affairs teacher on King Island, about 40 miles off the coast of northwest Alaska. At the time, the people of the island lived in Nome from July to November and returned to it for the rest of the year. Her husband, Juan Munoz Sr., came with her, and he brought a camera, a Hasselblad.
And he took hundreds of these marvelous photos of everyday life on King Island.
The Munozes published a few of these photos with their story of the time on King Island in National Geographic magazine in 1954. Juan Jr. thought that issue had all the photos his father took included in it.
When my dad passed away in 2005, I went to clean out his locker and I found this suitcase full of hundreds of negatives.
Ree and Juan Jr. then made a book of more of the photos called the King Island Journal, which included letters the couple had sent to their families when they were living there. And the photos are important because not long after the Munozes left to return to Juneau, the BIA closed the school.
And then several years later, the whole village moved to Nome. And so they got to see the last bit of this culture and record it, a culture that had been in existence for tens of thousands of years.
Munoz digitized all the photos with the help of Jerick Hope Lang, his longtime friend and a cultural preservationist.
It's a living time capsule, and these people are still around. You know, there's people that are connected to these that are still present with us.
Hope Lang says he thinks the photos are an opportunity to look back at what happened to King Island and the people who were made to leave. Years later, Yayuk says elders would use the photos to teach her about the community she comes from.
They would tell me who the names of the people were on that island. Yeah, they would explain things to me. They would use the pictures.
Yayuk is an Inupiat language teacher, and she hopes the photos may help King Island elders remember some parts of their language that haven't been in use since her people were forced to move to Nome.
Our language is based on the environment. So, of course, some of the words weren't used on mainland like they were on King Island where it was steep. So there's certain verb stems in our language that only pertain to the island.
She says the photos that show traditions that aren't practiced anymore, like making rope out of rawhide or sewing sealskin pants, could be especially valuable. She's eager for the elders to share what they remember from the photos with future generations. Ann Dillingham's boatyard is buzzing with fishing crews as the first opener of the Bristol Bay salmon season fast approaches. KRBD's Jack Darrell was there and has this audio postcard.
My name is Mitchell Lofsted. I've been a deckhand for 10 years in the bay, and I'm excited. There's a lot of changes. North Line's coming in, and they're kind of shaking things up. It's kind of like a science experiment with North Line. They're trying new things with freezing the whole fish, so it'll be interesting to see how that plays into the whole market. Hopefully it spreads out so the district's not crammed in the Nooshigag.
Oh man, I'm anticipating every suspense, every moment of this season, man. I'm a greenhorn. It's my first time ever really working commercial fishing, so
going to every single like shipyard I could find and just kind of like shouting out at the captains. I'm like, do you guys need an extra greenhorn?
My full name is Luke Anthony Miller, and it is my first time in Alaska, so I will be here trying to show my best and put my all into the game. So,
yeah. Like, is there anything that you think is going to be the biggest challenge?
Oh, honestly, yes. I do think it's going to be a really, honestly, just being away from home. For me, because I've only been away from home for 50 days, and that was like an outward bound, like Boundary Waters adventure. It's like an expedition. I go with like this group of people. We carry like canoes. It's like a grand portage.
Got the news this morning that we could be out there as early as tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow evening. So that's about the best thing we can hope for. Got some strong winds coming in. Storms bring the fish.
I think it's awesome that you know, wild salmon is still pushing strong, and we're a big run. You know, we don't get a lot down the states. You have dams. Like, I think they do a good job keeping the copper mine out and keeping it clean, and letting the salmon be a natural resource is huge for this area. It's like a huge, a lot of people see fishing around the world as like detrimental. You know, commercial fishing, they hear that, they kind of cringe, and I think to keep that kind of practice is important to keep the streams clean.
So excited, man, just to go out into the ocean and be able to like set those like kind of big old hanging nets out and just wait for the salmon to come.
That was an audio postcard of Bristol Bay fishing crews getting ready for the 2024 salmon fishing season, put together by Caribbean's Jack Darrell. This is KTOO.